There's a dire warning from scientists. We're running out of time. To avert a global climate catastrophe, they say, we must decarbonize the world's economy by mid-century. It means making deep, dramatic cuts in greenhouse gas emissions. Clean, renewable energy resources are coming online, but solar and wind are intermittent, and the transition will take time. There is another carbon-free energy source that is strong, steady, and available, but there's a catch. This morning, WBUR's Bruce Gellerman has the first of three reports on the future of nuclear power.
Future? In Massachusetts, nuclear power is history.
The state's last nuclear power plant has shut down after nearly 50 years. The Pilgrim nuclear plant in Plymouth provided enough
power. The owners of Pilgrim pulled the plug last spring. Maintaining the aging plant was too expensive and it couldn't compete against cheap natural gas. Nuclear opponent Mary Lampert, founder of Pilgrim Watch, says, good riddance.
I'm not going to break out the champagne because I'm focused on the next chapter.
Nuclear energy may be dead in Massachusetts, but Lampert is worried Pilgrim's highly radioactive waste will never be permanently buried off-site. She says the nuclear plant, once rated the worst in the nation by regulators, was unsafe, unreliable, and its power wasn't needed.
We have plenty. Nuclear power has had its day. We are transitioning to a different type of electric economy.
Lampert is right. We do have plenty of power, but from a climate change perspective, it's the wrong kind. Half of New England's electricity comes from burning climate-disrupting natural gas. That's a threefold increase in just 18 years. For all its problems, radioactive waste, plant safety, and cost, Pilgrim produced most of the carbon-free, climate-friendly electricity generated in Massachusetts, more than solar, wind, and hydro combined. The closing of Pilgrim Nuclear is part of a national trend, and some say that's a problem.
Nuclear power plants produce about 50% of our carbon-free electricity.
Ken Kimmel is president of Cambridge-based Union of Concerned Scientists. A 2018 study by the Nuclear Watchdog Group found a third of the nation's remaining 97 nuclear plants are in financial distress or could close prematurely.
That's a lot of our carbon-free power. And if we allow those plants that are operated safely to be shut down for economic reasons, and if those plants are replaced by natural gas, it makes decarbonizing our electric sector much, much, much harder.
The U.S. produces more electricity from nuclear than any other nation. 20% of our electricity comes from nuclear power. Like it or not, says Ken Kimmel, the existential threat of climate change means we can't afford to lose safe nuclear plants before there are carbon-free alternatives.
This is a short-term problem about not allowing these nuclear plants to close prematurely while we're building the renewable energy future.
But bailing out financially troubled nuclear plants is expensive. It's estimated the cost to ratepayers to bail out reactors in five states that recently threatened to shut down could exceed $15 billion. Two of those reactors are at the Millstone Nuclear Power Station in Connecticut. They generate 98% of the state's carbon-free power. If Millstone had closed, it would have left just one nuclear reactor operating in New England, Seabrook. The Seabrook Nuclear Power Plant in New Hampshire has had a long and controversial history. There were supposed to be two reactors built in the 1980s. But construction cost estimates for the second reactor soared tenfold.
We went after the plant on the grounds that it really was ridiculously expensive.
Doug Foy, former president and CEO of the Conservation Law Foundation, led the fight against the second Seabrook reactor in court.
We eventually won that case, and the plant was canceled. The company went bankrupt trying to build it, which we had also predicted.
Just one reactor was built at Seabrook. It's still the largest single generator in New England. Its carbon-free operation is equal to taking 700,000 cars off the road. Today, instead of trying to shut it down, Doug Foy says the New Hampshire nuke needs to remain up and running.
In the early 80s, climate change wasn't on anyone's radar, really. As we've learned more and more about its implications and the risks, I think all the cards have to be on the table. All the cards, including what's the future of nuclear power.
In the mid-1970s and 80s, the future of nuclear power was booming. Worldwide, a reactor went online every 17 days. But over the last quarter of a century, just one nuclear power plant has been licensed in the United States. The technology, too controversial. Construction, too expensive. The cost of building two new reactors in Georgia has skyrocketed from $14 billion to $28 billion. And despite taxpayer loan guarantees, they're years behind schedule. This isn't an energy future you can bank on, says Paul Hibbard, former chairman of Massachusetts Department of Utilities.
I think there's a lot of resistance amongst investors at this point in time to invest in new nuclear capacity because it's really not economic compared to the alternative.
Hibbard, now with Boston-based Analysis Group, a global economic consulting firm, says in more and more places, electricity generated by wind and solar is cheaper than nuclear.
So until the fundamental economics of nuclear constructing and operating a new nuclear plant changes, then I don't see a lot happening other than investments to maintain, to safely operate the existing nuclear assets.
But MIT professor Jacopo Bongiorno says in a climate-changing world, we can't afford not to build new nuclear power plants.
Nuclear still has to play a big role, and that is because if you exclude nuclear, what are you left with?
Bongiorno, head of MIT's Center for Advanced Nuclear Energy Systems, led a recent campus-wide study on the future of nuclear energy.
Our analysis shows that the most effective and, frankly, least cost path towards decarbonizing our economy includes nuclear energy.
Or another low-carbon energy source available on demand. Renewables aren't. You can't control when the sun shines or the wind blows. You can't store their energy in batteries, and the price for large-scale storage has been falling dramatically, but it's still expensive. So MIT professor Jacopo Bongiorno argues we will need new nuclear power, and a lot of it, to fuel our low-carbon future.
You want to have as many shots on goal as possible. You don't want to lock yourself into only one path. In this case, would be only just renewables plus storage, because if anything in that path fails, you don't have an alternative solution.
Today, if nuclear power has a future, the new money is betting on smaller, cheaper, modular reactors, supposedly safer mini-nukes that can be mass-produced by the thousands in factories and shipyards and put to use far and wide in a climate-changing world. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Bruce Gellerman.